First morning of October. It's a Thursday. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station, October 1. 83 the high today. Last warm day, and it starts to swoop down. It's going to be cold this weekend. Weather brought to you by the Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. It's a homie. I've got a homeboy as a guest this morning. Jim Bovard is with us. He is with USA Today, and he is also the author and part of the Public Policy Hooligan, which I love the name. There was a lawsuit in New York City, and the Saudis were dismissed. The Sauds were let off the hook as defendants in lawsuits brought by the families of victims of 9/11. The judge's name, Republican appointee, District Judge George Daniels. He did a written ruling that the lawyers for the plaintiffs failed to show facts sufficient to overcome Saudi immunity, which is fascinating. I use this as an example, James, that there are fingerprints on a gun and it's in the evidence locker, and the judge won't allow the fingerprints or won't even ask for the fingerprints to see whether or not, Big Mike actually pulled the trigger. And that's really what we have here, don't we?
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. This whole notion of sovereign immunity, that the whole notion that the Saudis should not be held liable simply because they're a government, this guarantees that people's rights and freedoms and maybe even their lives are going to get trampled, because when governments have the right to break the law and to engage in mass violence, then you're going to have an awful lot of mass violence. You mentioned before the break what I thought of Graham. Graham has shown great courage. You have a lot of respect for him. Graham is one of the co-authors of those 28 pages, and I'm sure that he knows far more than what's actually in those 28 pages. I assume that he's bound by, secret confidentiality.
Yeah, he's been very, very above boards and very honest about it. But you're right, he can't.
Right.
He can't.
Yeah, but there's, I'm sure he knows so much more. And this is part of the whole problem, that our U.S. government foreign policy has been off the leash. It's been off the leash of the law and the Constitution for many years, perhaps going all the way back to the Vietnam War. And
absolutely,
the whole notion, the whole notion that we're going to be able to have self-government if the government can start wars where it pleases and lie and con and lie the American people into wars, it's an absurdity. And part of the reason I'm enthusiastic on getting out these 28 pages was it will wake more Americans up to the danger of blindly trusting Washington.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's been done, as I say, the Gulf of Tonkin.
Absolutely.
Was one. The Maine is another one lost to history. But they're called, the French have this term called agents provocateurs.
Yes.
And I don't know if agents provocateurs are involved in this, but certainly it's been done. I get so sad that, I took so much grief and big deal. They pay me to take grief. Years ago, when I started telling people that the war, the invasion into Iraq was concocted, it was manufactured. And I think plenty of people have come around to believing that now, finally, that this was a concocted war. But we were talking earlier with Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch. Isn't it interesting that in these Republican debates, except for Trump, who tells Jeb Bush, no, your brother, there weren't any weapons, none of these people want to speak this truth, do they?
Well, it's interesting. I was, in general, you're 100% right. I was struck that Trump was emphatic in the last debate that he had. He was outspoken in 2003, saying it was folly to invade Iraq. Ben Carson said that he softly told George W. at the White House not to do it, but that doesn't really count for much. Rand Paul doesn't seem like a warmonger, which is a novelty in this presidential race. But overall, it's very difficult to get these politicians to speak truth about what the U.S. government has done abroad. And if we as American citizens don't know that, how the heck are we ever going to put these rascals back on a leash?
Mm-hmm. No, I said it when I watched this last debate, it was a lot of saber rattling.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, what have you learned? Have you learned nothing? Have you learned nothing?
I agree. And I think what some of them have learned is that saber rattling brings in very large contributions to billionaires.
Well, there's a story that I'm chasing now. I don't know, how everybody has what they do. But have you read much about the major input by Boeing and other multinational corporations into this nuke deal with the Iranians. Have you seen any of this?
I haven't seen much. I have heard that there's a lot of fishy stuff going on, but you're better informed than I am. So
once again, because I have to get a life, but the Iranian whole aviation and the state owns the system, and they have not been able to purchase a new airplane since, I guess, the middle 70s is what I've read, 74, 75. And they need help. And so the first initial order looks like Boeing will get a $20 billion. The deal means Iran can start to replace, they call them museum vintage jets. And the first investment would be about $20 billion. Iran flies A-300s. I know nothing about aircraft, which was an Airbus creation. Boeing 747-200s delivered in the mid-70s. The average age of the airplane in their fleet is 27 years old. And they want to sell the Iranians airliners. They want to sell them parts. And a lot of the stuff is Shah-era relics or jets purchased on the black market that really need repair and replacement. So one of the hugest influences influencing Kerry, Obama, and others, and even though I love how the Republicans and conservatives jump up and down, but here's Boeing, a huge multinational. They are also an arms dealer, but they need planes. And so guess who was one of the biggest to sell 777s, 787s, and Dreamliners was Boeing. Boeing pressuring I don't think he had to pressure the Obama administration. Also Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, Liggett & Myers, American Tobacco, a list of people that were on board to make the deal with the Iranians. You're not shocked, are you?
Well, it doesn't shock me. It was almost comical to see the some of the hysteria on the other side.
Yep, exactly.
That was, some folks had missed their rabies shots.
Yep.
But it was, I hope that I hope that a deal can be reached and that the U.S. does not go to war with Iran, because that's what a lot of the opponents of the Obama-Iran agreement, the sixth party, whatever it is.
Yeah. And Obama's a whole other story of himself, who he is, but this is, it's really interesting, again, that by and large, listening to principally Republicans or conservatives or others jumping up and down about this deal without realizing that this deal is also pressured by huge multinational corporations. They wanted to deal with Iran. Marr probably, and I'm no fan of Kerry's, but probably more than Kerry wanted to deal.
Yeah, it's hard to know what the heck John Kerry stands for, but that's basically been a challenge for the last few decades.
I agree.
Every now and then, he's on the right side of an issue, and he certainly doesn't seem as venal as some of the prior secretaries of state. But you're kind of waiting. Well, where is he going to stand next week?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we come back to this and watching the former Secretary of State, the talented Mrs. Clinton. So, I don't know, coming back full circle to Bob Graham's with us tomorrow, these 9/11 pages got to be released. And let me ask you as a question, Jim, what will happen if the truth is, and what Grace Slick say when the truth is found to be lies, then what?
Oh, Lord. You know, there have been so many times since 9/11 that information would finally come out or leak out or whatever. And I was thinking, okay, this is finally going to wake people up. There was a lot of, there were a number of revelations about the torture scandals that mm-hmm. I thought the American people would be shocked and they would finally say, okay, the government's gone far too far. Every time I've been wrong.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And so I don't know what the response would be. I mean, I know what I hope it would be, but, the fact is, I'm just far too optimistic.
When you spoke with Walter Jones, and we are attempting to speak with Walter Jones, he's Republican from uh-huh. North Carolina, and he's a guy, as you pointed out, he was a guy that when the French didn't want to go in 2003, invade Iraq, he really went after the French, and now he has totally, I guess, reexamined his position. Speak about Congressman Jones.
Congressman Jones is almost a novelty, because he's a member of Congress who learns, and he's also shown great willingness to admit that he was on the wrong side of an issue, and he's shown great courage in risking his career to stand up for what he believes in. And in this case, he's not in favor of sending U.S. troops in these endless wars abroad. The time I spoke to him, it wasn't his press secretary had asked me to give him had asked me to talk to him. We had a nice little chat, and he just he seems heartfelt, especially for a politician, because most members of Congress, you talk to them and it's you're kind of wondering, okay, where are they really? I mean, what's their angle? But Jones seems bona fide on this, and he's thoughtful, he's informed, and he's been a leader. And He's taken so much grief on this, but he's, he actually seems to be concerned about the national interest and peace on this.
How deeply involved do you believe the Saudi Arabians are or were on 9/11?
I don't know. That's part of the reason why I'm looking to get to see this. I mean, but one thing that we do know is that the Saudis are sowing all kinds of chaos in the Middle East right now. It's the Saudis who are some of the primary financial backers of ISIS. The Saudis are bombing the heck out of Yemen right now. We don't know how many other strings that they're pulling. The Saudis are trying to overthrow the government of Syria. The Saudis are, would probably like have a lot of hostility towards Iran. So I am mystified why the U.S. government would shield the potential Saudi role in 9/11, because it makes no sense to blindly trust the Saudis.
Oil, money, and oil, and money, and oil. Did you read about the Clintons and that the book about their deals with the Saudi Arabians and how much money the Sauds have poured into the Clintons? And Mrs. Clinton speaks about rights of women and rights of gay men and women. And the Saudis systematically brutalize women, gay men, and women all over their country, yet the Clintons have no problem taking millions of dollars from the Sauds.
Well, I'm happy to see that the Clinton Foundation has finally gotten some attention in the last six to 8 months, because it's just so smarmy.
And again, this story that on the 13th of September, Prince Bandar with his feet up, smoking cigars with George W. I don't know. I mean, I'm stumped.
Well, lots of folks are stumped, but it's great that you're pushing. It's great you're having Senator Graham on. And if more folks push, perhaps we'll find some truth.
Take care of yourself, Jim. We'll talk again, brother man. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much,
Jim. You're welcome, man. Jim Bovard. All right.